Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from three different books in the Bible. First, out of the Old Testament, Genesis, and then out of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and then out of Paul's letter to the Church of Philippi. First, out of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." And then out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. This is Jesus teaching, and this is from what is referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. He says this, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And then out of Paul's letter in Philippians, chapter 2, beginning at verse 4, the Apostle Paul says this, "Don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too, and in what they're doing. Your attitude should be the kind that was shown us by Jesus Christ, who, though he was God, did not demand and cling to his rights as God." The last few weeks, we've looked at living lives of purpose, at lives of service, and of not missing the important moments in our lives. Today, we continue with that, but by realizing that the moments to make a difference, to change a life, to be a light, often come when we least expect it. This is a story about a lady just retired who was never able to marry, had no children, all due to having to care for her mother for most of her life. Her mother has now died, and she is all alone. The one additional joy in her life, which she had found some fulfillment in and looked forward to each week, singing in the church choir, has now also been taken from her as she was asked to leave the choir because she couldn't carry a tune. So there she found herself, all alone, forgotten, feeling pretty insignificant, living in a tiny one-bedroom tenement apartment, four stories above street level, in a rundown area of a big, unnoticing city, living only on her Social Security and what few memories remained. Things probably couldn't get worse for her until one day a long-haired, tattooed, pierced in various parts of his face, disheveled, tough-looking young man with chains hanging off his belt moved into that low-rent housing building. The neighbors, concerned, began to talk about being even more unsafe now. What if others like him begin to move in? They're all the same, worthless, always up to no good. Her neighbors put extra locks on their doors, and she did too. Fear began to set in. Well, this went on for a while, and then one night she was coming back later than usual from a weekday evening church service, trying to find another church where she felt accepted, worthy, significant, a place where she could be involved and make a difference. As she entered the darkened lobby and began to climb the stairs to her apartment, she noticed that man, the new tenant everyone was afraid of, lurking in the dark shadows under the staircase. She wanted to scream out, as you can imagine, and she continued instead to climb the stairs. But instead of screaming, she reached down into her first love and began to sing. "When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark." She wasn't even sure the words were right, still trembling as she continued to climb. "For at the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone." By then she had reached her apartment, went in and locked the door, grateful she was safe in her refuge from the rest of the world. When she woke the next morning, she found a note on a torn piece of paper slipped under her door. As she began to read it, she realized the note was from the young man everyone seemed to fear. And he said this, "I don't even know who you are," she began to read, "but thank you for singing last night. You may not have realized it, but you were singing to me. I was ready to end my life, to check out for good, but then you started to sing. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high, and you'll never walk alone. You saved my life, he said. You helped me to see myself as someone significant. I'm going to another town to follow up on a job there and start my life again, and you made it possible. And I wanted you to know how important a part of my life you are. Thank you. Goodbye. The power of a smile or words of encouragement or even a song may be sung off key, all done when we don't even know who might be affected by them or how God will use them to lift a life. Listen, we are called upon by God to reach out into a world of darkness, to reach out into lives of despair all around us, and to spread his love and encouragement everywhere we are, to light candles in someone else's darkness, to be a blessing in someone's life. The Bible says, as we read a moment ago, that we are the light of the world. Notice, it doesn't say we are called to be light. It's not an option. Jesus says in that passage in Matthew 5:14 that we are the light of the world. We are to be a light shining in the darkness, a light which touches everyone around us and lifts them and encourages them, a light for everyone, maybe even sometimes a light for you and for me ourselves. As we read a moment ago, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we are to not just think about our own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they're doing. Your attitude should be the kind that was shown us by Jesus Christ, he ends. My friends, we are to reach beyond our own world where the focus is always on us and on what we're doing or what we're struggling with. Instead, we are to reach out to those all around us, toward others we come in contact with when we least expect it, who need a lift up in life. Others who need to know that someone cares about them, and most importantly, to be reminded that God cares about them. It's been a few years now since God taught me a very important lesson, a lesson I've never forgotten. And I'm still not sure where I was headed that day, but I had just gotten onto Interstate 75, I-75, heading south, and was about to cross a stretch of road that cuts through a wildlife area around Gainesville called Payne's Prairie. At that moment, I thought of calling a longtime friend whom I hadn't spoken to in a few months, but I didn't, deciding again. Instead, I would call him in a few days. He was a successful banker with a wonderful family. He was probably busy anyway, and I'd just call him later. But after a few minutes, I was prompted by something or someone to follow my first instinct and call him right then. Looking back on that moment later, I know exactly where the prompting came from. And so I called. Hey, friend's name, it's Scott. You're on my mind, and I just wanted to check in and see how you were doing. Silence, total silence for about 15 to 20 seconds. Then I could hear him sniffling and then the tears in his voice as this successful, good man mumbled, "You'll never know how much I needed your call right at this moment." God lifts me up. He lifts you up. And we are to lift others up. We are God's hands and feet, his voice and heart, and are called to be his earthly reminder of him and the source of hope and power, love and peace here for each one of us. God brings people into our lives, longtime friends and new ones, in unexpected, God-appointed moments. What will we do in those moments and with those opportunities before us? Remember, my friends, we are the light of the world, and we are to let our light shine before others. And as God said to Abraham, he says to us, "I will bless you so that you will be a blessing." And as Paul reminds us, we are not to just think about our own affairs, but be interested in others too and in what they are doing. So our attitude toward others should be the kind that was shown us by Jesus Christ. Have we lifted anyone up? Have we shined a light in anyone's darkness? Have we been a blessing to someone else in time of need? Just something for us, you and me, maybe more you than me, to think about every day and every moment of our lives. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your Son. I thank you for your teachings throughout your word. I thank you also for the reminders that are very clear of who we are to be to be your hands, your feet, your eyes, your heart, your words for those in the world around us who need a lift up in life. Help us to be that light that you say we are. Help us to be that blessing that you want us to be. Help us to think of others before ourselves, to lift the world around us with you and for you. Thank you for loving us. In your Son's precious name I pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.